reading to you from the 19th chapter of Matthew and with the 21st verse. Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 47 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing ever since. Friends, we had such a wonderful service at Burlington Sunday. There was four men gave their heart to Christ. That's a 321-mile round trip. But with my little van, I tell you, it wasn't very bad. It was awfully hot down and the wind was really whipping. But I tell you, friends, I thank you so much for you precious people who pray for us. You do not understand, many of you, what a joy it is for us to stand before those men and tell them that God loves them and that they can have a new life in Christ Jesus. Well, listen, I'll be with you for 29 minutes. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of tea or a lemonade, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? You know, friends, one of the hardest things for Christians to learn is that giving is more blessed. To give is more blessed than to receive. I know that's hard for people to understand, especially if you're in a strait and you're financially hurting. But I will tell you, my friends, God has proven to me 1,000 times over it is more blessed to give than receive. Let me tell you a story about one of the great, great preachers, Dr. Truett, down in the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. This is many, many years ago. And this young millionaire came into his office. First he came to church, and there the millionaire came forward and gave his heart to Jesus. About 3 weeks later, he walked into Dr. Truett's office and said, Dr. Truett, would you remove my name from the church rolls? And Dr. Druitt said, I can't do that. He said, what's the problem? Well, he said, you know, I'm a party person. And I drink and I do this and that. But, you know, since I gave my heart to Christ, you know, I can't enjoy that no more. And I want to go back to the old way of life. Dr. Druitt said, I'll tell you what. Would you do me one favor before we go through this? And this young man said, sure. What is it? He said, there's a family out here on so-and-so street, very, very poor, and they got three little children and no father, and they are really in dire need of help. And so this guy went out and bought a whole bunch of groceries, and he brought them up to the house, and just before he knocked on the door, he heard some children crying, and this mother was praying, God, we have no food in this house, and we're desperate, and oh God, we're calling upon you to help us some way. This man knocked on the door, and when those little kids come out and hugged his legs, and the woman hugged him, and she thanked him so much for his kindness, and they invited him in, and she said, listen, you're such a fine person, would you kneel here with us and lead in prayer? This young man had never prayed out loud in his life or in public, and he got down on his knees and he began to weep. He saw something that he'd never seen before. He saw someone hurting in need. Did you know he went back to Dr. Truett's church And he said, just forget it, preacher. I have found happiness. Dear friends, I can attest to that. My mom and dad taught me and my brothers and sisters the joy of giving. Many, many, many years ago, back in the late 30s, there was a poor family lived, probably a mile from our place, and they had, I think, four or five children. Anyway, their little old shack burnt to the ground. And so Dad collected a bunch of farmers together and went over to a lumber company and got a bunch of lumber donated. And these farmers went together and they built this man a beautiful four or five bedroom house. And they had an inside bathroom. Now, my mom got the ladies together and they had quilting parties and canning parties. And before it was over, that man had a hundredfold more than he ever had in his life. The Amish people back in Pennsylvania are great for helping one another. I don't always agree with their theology and all that, but they do a tremendous, tremendous work. One time when my wife and I was in California, Reverend Tom Baird, the man that led me to Christ, came down there to preach a revival in our church. I'd recommended him. And him and I was out visiting this one particular day, and we went to this house. And this lady came to the door in the bathrobe, and I introduced Brother Tom, and I said, we're holding a revival in our church, and we're out inviting people to come. And she said, I am sorry, I am a Catholic, and I do not go to Protestant churches. Well, she started to slam the door, but I stuck my toe in between the screen while Tom shared with her Christ. Now, get this, about, I suppose 3 weeks after the revival, I received a phone call from one of our members of our church who lived a couple doors down from this lady that we tried to get to come to church. She said, Brother Moe, Mrs. Smith has two children, and they are destitute. And she's come over here to borrow our phone to call the Catholic Church to come bring some groceries to them. But she is not able to get a hold of them. I said, unplug your phone. I said, I'll do something about it. My wife and I, we didn't have very much money, I'll guarantee you, but we had five children. So we went down and we bought some groceries, I suppose, $25 worth of groceries, but that's a lot of groceries back in the late 50s. And we took them over to her house. My wife even bought some candy for the two little children. And I knocked on the door, and she came to the door, and she saw me, and her face just fell. She said, I thought I told you I was not interested in coming to your church. I said, ma'am, this has nothing, absolutely nothing, to do with our church. My wife and I know that you're kind of having some financial problems, so we wanted to share our loaf with you. Well, she just changed a different tune. I took the groceries in and put them on the table and left. About a week later, I get a phone call from this neighbor lady who goes to our church. And she said, Cecil, Mrs. Smith wants you and your wife to come over and pay her a visit. So my wife and I went over there, and she just apologized. I said, you don't have to apologize to us for anything. She said, I want to thank you so much for this food and even candy for our little children. And then she said something, folks, that I never will forget. She said, Mr. Moe, I wish I had the faith that you and your wife have. I said, the faith we have is in Jesus Christ the Lord. I said, I'm not over here trying to steal sheep or trying to get you to come to our church. I just want you to know that we are concerned about you. And then I said to her, I said, Miss Smith, tell me one thing. If you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity? And she had a shocked look on her face, and she said, Mr. Moe, I really don't know where I'm going to go when I die. I said, I tell you what I want you to do. My wife and I are going to be leaving now. I want you to go into your bedroom after we're gone. Turn off the lights. Kneel down beside your bed and ask the Lord where you're going to spend eternity. And she did, and she realized the Spirit of the living God convicted her that she was unsaved, lost, and she cried out to God to come into her heart and save her. Well, let me tell you something. There was one different lady. Now, several months later, we moved out to Ontario, California, where I took a job out there selling roofing. And I got an urge that I should go to the Smith's house. So my wife and I got in a car and we drove back to Riverside and went to their home. And when we got in there, her husband, who was an alcoholic, we had never met him. He was sitting there in a chair drinking a Bud Light. And he offered me a drink, and I told him I wasn't interested in it, but I thanked him anyway. So I sat there and I began to share the Lord Jesus Christ with that man. And pretty soon, friends, the tears began to come to his eyes as he realized that there was something missing in his life. What was missing? Christ. Peace. Peace with God. And that night, him and I knelt there, and he gave Jesus Christ his heart and changed the whole world. Now, friends, listen to me. If it wasn't for a few groceries, there's a good possibility that those men, that family would have never, never been saved. I can tell you another story about giving. We had, I was going to AA, not because I particularly needed AA, but because I wanted to witness to those men. I think AA does a tremendous job, but they need to go a little further with Jesus. But anyway, I was going to this meeting, and one night one of the men said, you know, Cecil, the AA does not have chaplains per se, but how would you like to be our chaplain? You take care of our spiritual needs, and we'll take care of the drinking problems. But what he didn't understand, if the spiritual needs are met, so is everything else met. But anyway, three nights later, I get a phone call, and they said, listen, we have a man that's in jail. He took a garden hoe and cut his wife on the back, had 53 stitches, I believe it was, and he's in prison. So I went over to the prison there, and I got him to meet with him. He's a little bitty guy, about 5'5", weighed about 130 pounds maybe. And I started sharing with him Christ, and he said, look, I'm not really interested in that stuff. I said, I would say, you'd better get interested. You'd better get interested. I said, because your life, you're out of control. I said, you almost killed your wife. And then he hung his head. He said, yes, I'm so sorry for that. I said, let me ask you, do you really love your wife? Oh, sure I love her. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to help you out. So I went to the district attorney, and I talked with him. I begged and I pleaded. And I said, would you let me work with this guy and his wife? Maybe we could help him. District attorney released this young man, his name was Bill, into my keeping. I called our church and I said, Pastor, I said, we've got a family here that really needs some help. They need an apartment. They need some food and clothing. And the pastor said, well, Cecil, we're not equipped to help that kind of people. My wife and I, we had about $50 in the bank. That's all the money we had. And I remember, I said, well, we got to help him, Gene. So we went and rented a $7 a week, a furnished apartment. We went down and we bought some groceries, $35 altogether. And we took him up to their house. And he said, oh, Mr. Moe, I would like to repay you for your kindness. I said, you want to repay us? He said, yes. I said, well, I'll tell you what you do. If you will be out here on the curb at 8:30 in the morning, my wife and I'll pick you up and take you to church. The debt is free. You mean that's all I have to do to pay back for all this kindness? I said, that's all you have to do. Sure enough, Sunday morning, they were standing in the corner, street corner, waiting for us. We took them to church. The pastor preached a wonderful message that day. And during the invitation, I turned to Bill, and I told him about Jesus, and I told him that God was standing with outstretched arm, ready to save him if he'd repent of his sins. While I was introducing Bill to Christ, my wife was leading his wife to Christ. they went forward and made their public profession of faith. Now, that afternoon, our pastor called and said, Cecil, would you like to preach tonight? You don't get an opportunity to preach very often. I said, I sure will. And, you know, I hadn't preached very many times, but I remember, how am I going to get a message to preach tonight? Well, I had enough sense to get on my knees and pray. And the Lord directed me to this scripture. He that closes his ear to the cry of the poor shall pray, and his prayers will not be heard. I preached on that night, dear friends, and I still don't believe what I saw. People started coming forward with their billfolds in their hands. I told them about Bill and Jeannie, and they came forward and they said, we want to help this family. Did you know later that church voted in a business meeting to save 15% of their income to help the poor and the needy? And to my knowledge, that's still in effect. That's over 40-some years ago. You see, dear friends, it is more blessed to give than receive. As you know, in my ministry for the last, I think, about 20 years, we started out giving, seven or eight baskets of groceries to the needy family, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and we've been doing this now, like I say, for 20 years. You people have stood with us, and you said, well, we'll help. And then you've helped deliver the groceries to the people. It's the most blessed Christmas you will ever have in your life. I have a wealthy family friend of mine, and every year she sends $300 to this broadcast, and then her and her husband and her daughter and her husband has helped deliver groceries to these poor, needy families. Friends, listen, that's exactly what life is about. You know, the Bible said that God has always been on the giving, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever with him should not perish, but have eternal everlasting life. See, God is on the giving side. He gave us eternal life through his Son, Jesus. His Son gave up his life on the cross at Calvary, that you and I might be able to have eternal life. Friends, listen, when you learn the blessedness of giving and sharing, then you begin to get the secret of Christianity. So many times I've had people say to me, Cecil, I wished I had money to help your ministry as you guys go to all these hundreds of thousands of miles you spend to go into prison. I said, listen, you know, it's not the big gift that makes a difference in our ministry. It's a lot of people praying and believing and standing with us. You know, there's been thousands of men and women saved over these past 16 years at the quartet, and my wife and I have been going to prison. We've got five people on this broadcast, that's all we have, that stand with us every month. And you know, we have lots of senior citizens. Bless their hearts, they're on Social Security like I am. And yet some of them will send $3 or $4 in order to see that the gospel goes to these prisons. Now you say, well, Cecil, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said it's more blessed to give and receive. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, where are you going to go spend eternity? You say, well, Cecil, I'm a member of the First Presbyterian Church. That doesn't tell me nothing. You might say, Cecil, I've been baptized. That doesn't tell me nothing. Have you been born again? If you have been born again, you have a new nature. You are a new person in Christ Jesus, according to the Bible. Then your heart should be in tune with God. God told us what we need to do. He that closes his ear to the cry of the poor shall pray, and their prayer be unheard. So if you're miserable, if you got your hand down the cookie jar tonight, maybe you need to come to Jesus and confess it. And say, Lord, I have been selfish. I don't give to my church. I don't give to the poor. I don't give to the needy. I'm just struggling myself. Well, I'll tell you right now, you don't have to struggle. Do what the Lord does tell you to do, and you will find a joy and peace. Tonight, maybe you're not saved, and you don't know what you're going to do when you die. Well, I'll tell you, there's only two places to go, heaven and hell. Now, and they're both of them for all eternity, time without end. We can't understand eternity. But I tell you, if you go to hell, you'll understand it. And you go to heaven, you'll have joy, peace, no sickness, no sorrow, no more heartache, no more heart attacks. Oh, I tell you. If you don't know Jesus tonight, would you bow your head at me right now and cry out, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You know, friends, that was the greatest decision I ever made in my entire life. 47 years ago, I staggered into a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington, cried out to God, and there I found what everybody in this world, every millionaire, every poverty-stricken person is wanting: peace with God. You can only have it through Christ Jesus. Now, if you'd like to pray this prayer, here's how it goes. Dear Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart tonight and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. But, beloved, I do care where you'll spend eternity. Won't you call tonight? 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Mailing address is Mo Evangelistic Association, and that's 9621 South Burberry Lane, B-U-R-B-E-R-R-Y, Burberry Lane, Highlands Ranch, 80129. Dear friends, if you'd like to stand with us and help us with our prison ministry expenses, you know, like I say, that's 350 miles round trip. We have to stop and eat, and it takes gas and oil to get there. And I'm telling you, friends, we want you to know that this is not a joke. This is for real. We are seeing men saved and women saved. And like I say, we have about five faithful people that stand with us. We could sure use some more. Believe you me, we could. Anyway, do what you can, and we'll love you for it. Friends, for the past 29 minutes, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I want to thank you, dear ones, for listening tonight. Oh, friends, listen, if I can just bring a little ray of hope in someone's life or introduce some lost man or woman to Christ, my life has been complete. Friends, do pray for my wife if she sells real estate. She hasn't been feeling too good, and I sure don't want her to work so hard. I'm trying to get something going for myself so that I can help so she could retire from this. It's hard work. Anyone, you need to be young to do this. Well, you keep us in your prayers and pray that God will supply the needs of our ministry so we can continue to go to all these prisons. I tell you, someday on the other side of eternity, we're going to see what God has done in prison ministries. Well, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. All because this wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.